This opportunity and greet all of you, greet the department and the political heads of the department. Welcome back, Dr. Kuzwayo.
Thank you.
Hoping that you are better. Nozuko ikora miko onani. Iti ewe shalo babi Mike. Ya record.
Ewe shalo ikon.
Ya record. Yeah. So apologies. I've got two apologies before me. One is from Honorable Ketama Bala, who is attending the Portfolio Committee on Transport. Honorable De Freitas is going to arrive a bit late. Those are two apologies. Do you have any other apologies, Nozuka? And Mr. Boltina is a standing apology because he's sick. Do we have apologies outside the ones that I've mentioned?
No, Chair, we don't have.
We don't?
We don't. Except the two.
Except the three?
Yes.
Okay. Honorable members, not to go away and I don't let you feel about it. So, honorable members, we received the apologies, our meeting is correcting. We are gathered here today with heavy hearts. After we had sleepless nights, for we have lost one of the doyens of our revolution. A leader that we grew to love. Some of us looked up to people like Umama Utina Chumat when we were very young. And it is said to believe that we won't see her again and that she has passed on. We are still digesting that situation because it was just so sudden for her to depart. Departing on a day where we were still celebrating in our hearts the life and times of Comrade Jackson Mthembu. And before we could even sleep less than 24 hours, and then the news of her passing came. So I want us to rise and observe a moment of silence in honoring Umama Utina Chumat Pertus. Department, first and second quarter performance reports for 2022-2023 financial year, and thereafter we are going to deliberate on the on the report, receiving this report after we have debated the budget of the department, which was tabled before Parliament and approved by Parliament with conditions. And that condition is known, that the department should, or must rather, not transfer any monies to South African Tourism. And I know that the DG said there's monies which were transferred already. But it was not clear whether it was the 53.3% that was transferred already to South African Tourism. But we've since said they must stop doing that. And the House has adopted the budget as such. As the chair of the portfolio committee, I've been interacting with the chair of Standing Committee on Appropriations on the matter, of which I'll brief the portfolio committee in our in-committee about it. But I can safely say Parliament has considered it with the seriousness it deserves. So indeed, the department won't be doing the contrary. We are also, Minister gathered here after we got shocking advertisements on the board nominations, which was supposed to close now in June. But to our surprise, it is closing on the 4th of July. And I think it will be fair for the committee to get a DG an update on this, for it is in contravention with the Act of Tourism. And this is what we raised even initially. And it's even worse that undermining what we've raised, you went to an extent of putting the advert for 2 months when the Act says not more than a month, because the Act is very explicit on the matter. So generally what we say in the portfolio committee, it's like we are playing hobby age. It's not taken serious by the department. But also what we gathered on the news there far away is that the department finally has seconded someone to the board of South African Tourism. We also need to be appraised on that, so that we are able to move in unison. Instead of getting things from the media, we prefer to get things here in the boardroom, so that when the media calls us, we are able to respond, because not all of us are excited by the mics and the cameras, because our mandate derives from the policies and the instructions of the ruling party in how to conduct ourselves at this level of deployment, because these positions belong to the ruling party, not to us, that we know for sure. So we conduct ourselves as such. So we really need to be appraised on those things. If there's nothing, honorable members, that you have picked up in between, other than the ones that I've raised, Can I get an indication that I represented you properly in my introduction or introductory remarks? If you corner, you can add so that as we move, in order, so that we are not confused moving forward. If there's nothing else, because I can see that there's nothing else, I'm going to allow the department to table the report and respond to what I've raised here. I'm going to allow the political heads of the department to guide their team and report. I don't think there's a necessity for the DG to introduce the team. I think it's people that we know, not unless you think there's new faces. If you think there's new faces, it will be perhaps you, honorable members, were not in the meetings of the portfolio for quite some time. Otherwise, the faces are familiar. It's faces we know. So, without wasting time, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will ask the DG to respond on the gazetting of the second advert. Thank you. The second gazette. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister, and thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to Honorable Members, DM, and colleagues. Honorable Chairperson, the Act requires that the advertisement of the, I'll just go to the Section 13, section 13, 3, B, the notice must specify a period of at least 30 days for nomination to be submitted to the minister. Now, what that would then mean is that it is a minimum of 30 days. If it's supposed to be less, it would say at most 30 days. If it is the minimum, then it says at least it must run for 30 days. Now, in this particular instance, the notice on the notice on the gazette also has to be published.
Which section are you reading? Are you referring to?
I'm referring to section 13. Okay. 3 1B. So that was the basis of which I may also just add, Honorable Chairperson, that what would also happen, what has also happened is that we made a recommendation to the minister for the appointment of a person also who is a representative of the department, and we continued with Ms. Nonkubela Silulwane, who used to be our representative in the previous board. Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
DG, I'm a bush lawyer, but I know for a fact that at least 30 days means you don't exceed 30 days. And this is the issue which we've raised here in the Portfolio Committee, Minister, if you remember. And you responded to the Portfolio Committee Minister to say reason why it was exceeding 30 days with 13 days, it is simply because you did not include the weekends. Because the Act says at least 30 days. It does not say more than 30 days. And I did not mention the name of the person who is seconded to the board. But I think that the department has shown a middle finger to this portfolio committee. Because it was in this portfolio committee where the minister put it explicitly to say the person that was representing the department in the previous board was useless. To an extent that there were no reports that were submitted by that person to the department and the department was unable to execute its responsibility of oversight. But you are sitting here today and the DG is telling us that that same person where the minister had reservations and tabled in the portfolio committee as such is the same person that is taken back to the board. What are we trying to achieve? It doesn't make a logical sense or reasoning to take back a person that was not adding value, not only in the board, but also in terms of reporting back to the department, to the state. What are we doing? I saw your hand was up, Honorable Bush. Honorable Mandumba, you are next. I'm confused.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to yourself, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, Departmental Officials, and our support team. Honorable Chairperson, I so wish that the DG points us directly to the section that speaks to what he presented, because there's nowhere where there is a minimum of 30 days on the Act, Chairperson. And I also wish to state that, Chairperson, it is not for the first time. I fully concur with yourself that somehow the department is undermining this portfolio committee, Chairperson. And also on the secondment, Chairperson, I just want to be clear that is the person seconded to represent the board, because there was also an issue of the board secretary, Chairperson, that was to be seconded from the department, and we were explicit as the portfolio committee in terms of our recommendations, Chairperson, on that. And I am not sure, Chairperson, if the department, you know, before sends and only cause a big and we are not. Because I feel like we are not assisted from both the minister and the deputy minister in terms of us being taken serious by the department, Chairperson. Thank you. And mind you, Chairperson, when we were discussing, we didn't want to approve the budget for this department.
Honorable Matu.
Yeah, thank you, Monich, colleagues. Chair, you remember in the last meeting, Deputy Minister gave us a proper lecture on Lenin. today we are back at it that you will teach us about dictatorship of the working class, which in this case is dictatorship of the people. So when we sit as parliament, we are representing the people of South Africa. So it's a resolution of parliament to say the Minister of Tourism should expedite the process of appointing and properly constituting the board of South African Tourism in accordance with the Act. So that's the political tone that is coming to the department, that this is what should be done. We spoke of, so the issue of the Act, of hiding behind the Act on all those things, no longer carry any weight, because what people are saying that board must be constituted in time. Now we are getting notice that it's pushed to another date, which I don't think it's correct, because we want to see SAT running, and if we don't have that board, it means the money will not be transferred to the board. So whatever we do, we must put in mind that money must be must go to the board. Secondly, it is the minister who came, and you know she spoke passionately about the relationship between the department and the board, and the DG himself, he was complaining that there is no proper oversight mechanism on SAT, because the person who was there was doing nothing. So once we have to forward the same person, it means we are not going to go anywhere. We are still going to have the same problem that we want to fix, of having proper oversight by department in SAT. So like we say every time, this committee will never give you a name or suggest a name for you. It is only when you have come with a name that we can see this name is not assisting the department, to say, can you please withdraw this name and put a proper person, because this one have a history of incapacity there in that board. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Macbeth.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, from my observation here is that this process of finalizing the appointment of the board of SAT seemingly is not going to be concluded by August, as we have envisaged as the portfolio committee, to say the sooner, if the advert went according to the plans that were detailed to us in the portfolio committee that we had, because we were given the details to say, and were given reasons to say there are weekends in between, hence the days will be longer than 30 days, counting the weekends and the public holidays. But the process should be expedited so that we have a fully fledged board that looks into the affairs of SAT, since we see that the entity is ailing, it has many weaknesses. However, from my observation right now, I see that by the time we rise and go for the process of elections, we will not be having a board of SAT. And that is beyond us as the portfolio committee, because they are perhaps the circumstances that the DG is still to give us the reasons why the extension of the board has been extended for the next 30 days. And then I would then perhaps suggest that as a portfolio committee, which we put that in a report that we are going to be tabling before Parliament, and indicate that we have wished that the board appointment is expedited. But for now, I haven't heard the reasons of the extension of the 30 days. Perhaps then after that we will then put it in writing to say, based on this, this is what we are recommending. But now I would want us to want to understand what causes the extension. That's my submission, Chair.
Honorable Thabo. Yes, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Let me start from where the Honorable Makubela has left to say what implications does the extension on the advertisement have, given our recommendation as a committee on the budget that it must not be just be adopted. We recommend it having reserved reservations. Now that we are talking of extension, what implications does that have, given what we recommended as a committee? Coming to the issue of the person representing the department on the board, what we wanted to address as a committee is a principle that there be someone. The assessment or whatever utterances that were said were by yourselves as the department. So I'm trying to distance the committee that were doing assessment of your staff. It was what has been said is as a result of what was uttered by yourselves from the department side. I just wanted to clear that. We wanted a principle. It's just a principle of having someone. If you have done that, it's a step forward to us. But given what you said in front of this committee, that's why we have a question mark. And I think, Chair, the DG must also, if he has said so, maybe my mind was somewhere else, talk on the amount that has been, what implications that have on the budget, now that it was reported that a certain amount has been transferred already. What does that mean to what we have said? What is under discussion now by the committee on SCOPA and what we recommended? Now that it is said, and he said it here, that a certain percentage has been transferred already. Thanks. Mom-com.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity, and greetings to the House at large. Honorable Chair, given the unlawful extension by the department, because I would say that it is not, even though they quote the law, but I don't see the relevance 100% of the quoted law with this extension issue. The committee, which is as a committee, recommended that the minister add the number of the members in her board. And unfortunately, I just want to find out if there has been numbers which were added, you know, taking into consideration of, not even taking into consideration, because I don't really consider the extension itself, because I don't really see why should it be extended when we are under such pressure in terms of looking at the season where we are, because immediately after the season we're looking at increasing numbers of tourists coming to South Africa, and I see that the pace in which the department together with the board and the SA team are moving, it is not a very happy. I don't see any movement in terms of improving the sector itself, the tourism sector. So my worry here, Honorable Chair, is do we really have those additional numbers of members of the board, since there is this extension that is actually meaning that we are still going to have a little bit of time not having the full board as well as additional board, which I'm questioning whether it is there in order for it to speed up some of the work that is still has to be done
and by the time that permanent board is appointed. So there's a delay here, and I want to know if there's another movement in terms of adding the number of board members. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Lisman. Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everybody present. I just have a few clarity-seeking questions. Some of the questions have already been asked by my colleagues. My first question is, you highlighted that another member has been brought in. This member has previously been released, okay? And now this particular person is brought in again. The recommendation to the minister was to bring this person in. Can you perhaps just outline to us why in the first place was this particular person released? I think it will give us basically a guideline to say where is this person in this whole thing. I mean, if we understand the negativities that go with it or the positivities that go with it, we want to understand it. Secondly is that was there really no one else that, you know, sent any representation to the minister that we actually, or, you know, that you're only looking at this particular person to be coming back or representing the board? My third question is, what is the reason for the second gazette? I mean, we know the SAT is now in a very bad space. We know there's been negative media on the SAT, and it seems to be just, you know, adding more negativity as we're going along, instead of rather just focusing on, you know, having this gazette out. And we thought the first gazette was out and the matter is now going to be addressed sooner rather than later. Now we're hearing of a second gazette. Obviously this is going to be delaying the whole process again on the whole, you know, appointment on board members. What is the actual new date now? And I'm asking this so that he can be minuted properly to say, what is the actual new date now that a new board will be approved considering the second gazette it is? Thank you, Chair.
I'm going to allow the DG to respond, but I think I saw the minister raising her hand, but I want to put it on record that when people insult the intelligence of parliamentarians, I take an exception. Because the DG here reads things that are not on the act, as if we are stupid. There's a difference between must, may, in legal terms. As a bush lawyer, I know that. Honorable Matumba would know better because he's studying law. And the DG reads things that are not on the act. The act is very clear, Minister. The section that you're citing here, the reason why I asked you which section is that because I know there's no such a section in the act. The section that he is manipulating, the DG, says the notice must specify a period of at least 30 days for nominations to be submitted to the minister. It does not say, and this, it does not take a genius. Even my niece, who's doing grade 2, would clearly understand that at least 30 days doesn't mean more than 30 days or mean 2 months. It means it can be less than 30 days, not more. So, you see, you come here, DG, you insult our intelligence, and I take an exception. It's, I mean, really, we don't know what this department wants us to do. Our initial submission, Minister, was that the department must not be given an allocation. And, you see, we are in actual fact today vindicated. Because this DG does not take us serious. And that takes only one sitting of parliament to amend the appropriation, to say that this money is not going to the department. It is this DM that stood for this department to say, I know let us be lenient on the department and focus on the SAT and our dissatisfactions. We had to withdraw that report which was ACT'd and amend it in the portfolio committee. I think we're being tested by the DG. We're being tested. And people are going to interpret things wrongly to say that this portfolio committee is doing this and that. And then the message will go to the cabinet as if that we are the nastiest portfolio committee ever in this parliament and this administration, because we are doing our work without fear of contradictions. So, I'm going to hand over to you, and then the DG will respond to members and what they've raised. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I was hoping that when I ask the DG to respond to the second Gazette, because that is the question of the members, that the DG was going to explain that yes, it is a second Gazette. We dissolved the board, I dissolved the board on the 21st of April 2023. On the 23rd of April, in the Sunday newspapers, an advertisement appeared. What was supposed to have been done was that you have to also gazette the advertisement. And so the advertisement of the 23rd of April was not gazetted. So when it came to my attention, I said to DG, you can't go and do another gazette and say we were wrong, that we didn't do the first one. Because ignorance of the law is no excuse. So the process then had to be corrected, which meant that you had to do the advertisement plus the gazette. And that is why there was a second gazette. So the members is correct there, but DG can further explain what happened there and why the legal department did not issue the gazette at the same time when the first advertisement went out on the 23rd. The second question that I will briefly respond to was that the member that was, why was she released? She was part of the previous board that was dissolved on the 21st of April. And on the request of the portfolio committee that we bring in a representative from the department, I consulted with DG, and we had the same discussion that we now moving forward, we have to change an institute a standard operating procedure for any member representing the department. One, and this will be in the appointment letter. One, before any SAT board meeting, the agenda of the board that they are going to discuss must be brought to the attention of myself and the DG, and she must go to that meeting with a mandate. The second part of the standard operating procedure is that within 5 days after the board meeting, she must report back to the DG and myself on what was the outcome of what was discussed in the board. There is an oversight committee chairperson that had in the department that have got that do oversight on SAT. I have seen the last report of the oversight committee and the issues that they've raised. And I also asked DG to give us a report on the composition of that committee, and how often do they report to the department. I have seen one of the reports as part of the research that I've done in the department. So the question raised also about when will the board be in place? Certainly the process that have started now will at least delay the appointment by the board for another month. Because now it was properly done, the advertisement plus the gazette went out at the same time. So that is an administrative process that wasn't done in the first advertisement of the 23rd, and it's now been done correctly. So I have just received a question from one of the honourable members that I've answered. I'm going to answer. The member asked how long this process will take to have a fully fledged board on board. And because I wanted to give the member the precise times or the processes, I did contact it also because part of the process before I can take it to cabinet, there must be vetting done on the board members. And in my consultation with the State Security Agency about a time frame by when, how long it will take them to do vetting of at least 11 to 13 members, they advised me it will take between 30 and 60 days. So when that question comes to the member, you will see that we have worked in the vetting process another 30 days for the cabinet process. It first goes to the cabinet committee and they will scrutinize it before it goes to cabinet. Cabinet meets twice a month, and therefore we have worked in the cabinet consultation for also about 30 days. So I will, once the answer is tabled, members will see the time frame in there. I just don't have it with me now. But I will be asking the DG to give some response, so that we apologize to the members that indeed it is a second gazette, and then the members can hear the reasons as to why there's now a second gazette. Over to you, Chairperson, over to the DG. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, maybe I should start by indicating that there is, from my side at least, there isn't any intention to undermine the committee at all. And if it came through that way, I do apologize. It was just the interpretation I had of what is contained in the Act. Honourable Chairperson, the advert that went out internally, there was an admin challenge that occurred related to the fact that it should be on two national newspapers, one. The second one, it should be on a government gazette. And it was only in one national newspaper, which was the Sunday Times. Followed that up and then brought the matter to the attention of the minister, and subsequently the events that the minister has alluded to then occurred. I've just also been alerted, Honorable Minister, something that I was not aware of, that on Friday the Gazette was not able to go through. This Friday. And it will only be able to go through today. That's what I'm told. This is something I did not have, and I did not want us to leave here after what the minister has presented, and the record reflects otherwise. Which means that the exact date ultimately will be the 6th of July. That will be the exact closing date. If the cassette is not done, if the second advert was not done, the whole appointment would be null and void, because it would not have actually followed the due process. On the issue of the individual, who the department recommended to the board, how did she leave? She tendered their resignation. That's how she left. The person who's coming from the department who went to, she had tendered their own resignation, and that's how she left the board at that time. And as Minister has indicated, the one aspect that was missing in the past, and this is something I did bring to the attention of the honorable members and honorable chairperson previously, the part that we did not do then was that we would leave the part which we did, which minister has now decided on in terms of policy direction as to how we should handle the aspect of interface with the person who goes to the board. We didn't previously have interface with that person. The person would go to the meetings, the person would raise the issues and concerns as a member of the board, and would be bound by what takes place within the board and so on, but not necessarily come back and give feedback to the department. And the policy decision that minister has decided on is that there will be mandate and there will be feedback. So that would be the difference. In terms of the assessment of the capacity and the capabilities of the individual, we, from the department side, we did not necessarily have specific concerns that we have raised about the individual. Suffice to say that there was, at that time, no requirement for the person. In fact, there was almost like a policy stance to say the person participates in the board and deals with the matters in the board, not necessarily come back to ourselves. So I will stop there, Honorable Chairperson.
Can you explain about the oversight committee, please, DJ?
We have an entity oversight unit within the department. The oversight unit, what it does, we receive the documents from the board, from EXCO, from SAT, and what they do
they go through these documents, whether it is annual reports, whether it is quarterly reports, whether it is substantive documents that are actually developed within the year and so on. We go through those each in detail. They are also then referred to the various branch heads. These are the people that would then go through the details of the substance of each of these documents. And they are doing that from a perspective of saying the policy requires of 1, 2, 3. Is this practice or supposed practice in line with the policy? And out of that, then a report is generated. That report at times results in directives that are then signed by the minister to say, SAT, these are some of the things that we would like you to actually keep a closer eye on. These are some of the things that need to be dealt with in a particular way. Thank you.
Honorable members, I've noted your hands. Honorable Makubela, Honorable Mbushe, Honorable Komba, Honorable Maneli, Honorable Ishmael, Honorable Matumba is the last person. Honorable Matumba is the last person.
I hear what the minister explains around the gazetting and not gazetting, and the DG mentions one newspaper, an error, you know, that were committed in the process. But I want to put it to this committee that the DG has overseen almost 4 boards appointment or has processed previously, you know, as the DG, if I'm correct. This is perhaps maybe the fourth board, the third board that you are overseeing. Now, if things were not done, deliberate would be something else, because if you have overseen the appointment of, or taken the process through the appointment of the first board, the second board, and this is the third board, and you still have these technical errors that are committed by the DG, it clearly indicates that perhaps maybe some were done deliberate. Because I want to believe that the first error was maybe to be done on the first appointment of the board, perhaps those years. And then the second phase, second part, you had things correct. And now this process, you know, I want to believe that the DG is also the technical support for the minister. I do not want to put the blame on the minister, but I would want to say these technical errors that we see, the putting of the advert, the non-gazetting, you know, it's things that were supposed to be checks and balances that were supposed to be coming from the technical support, which is from the DG. And I would place it on record here in this committee that the DG is the one that is failing the process. Because you can't have such deliberate mistakes when you clearly know the process. You know, I want to believe that, Chair, because this is not the first board, not the second board, it's the third board. And then I move quickly to the second part where I want to appreciate the minister now coming in to say the person that is seconded to the board from the department must be able to give you the agenda and must be able to report back to yourself and the DG. And that is a step in the right direction and must be commended. Because the DG on many occasions indicated that the fact when we asked why does this person not come and report to you on happenings of the board, the DG said the Act did not empower him to be able to get such which meant that we needed to make amendments to the Act to say, I mean, these are basic management processes. You know, somebody is seconded to the department by the department, and remember, this entity is an entity of the department, and the department's accounting officer is the DG. But on record, the DG has given us excuses on why he is not able to take charge on, or he does not have any information on what the board is doing. A point in example will be the one with the Tottenham Hotspurs process. The DG said he's silent, although there was a person representing the department in that board. When we ask why was this person that is representing the department not giving you reports on board meetings, on decisions of the board, because we wanted first to understand whether this deal that is being pursued was a decision of the board, which date of the board took this decision, but the DG did not have such information. And my submission here, Chair, would be that we commend this process, because on that part, it means the department yourself as the executive, you will have information on what is happening in the board, where the minutes will be there, the agenda will be there, you will know what decisions are taken. And that's checks and balances for me. But then the process that is now, the technical issues, technical errors, I want to place it directly on the shoulders of the DG. That's my submission, Chair.
Honorable Bush.
And what's the sum? The unfortunate part, Salo, is that I've got one department squad.
Yes,
can't go and get the squad. Yes, I have governed the department. Was able
to figure who
to no, I gave Taraji, unfortunately. The DG, together with the former minister, upon deliberations by the committee with the minister, the former minister, it is them who indicated that, in fact, that person was representing the board, the department in the board was not even part of the meeting of the portfolio committee. She was not attending meetings. And then upon deliberations, it appeared that the person is not doing her job or his job. Because now the response from the DG is as if we are the ones who are saying, who are talking about the incapacity and all that, what have you. Secondly, Chairperson, the oversight committee, where was it then when the board was falling apart? If there's been an oversight committee in the department, where was it when things were falling apart? And I want to align myself with the whip, though I'm skeptical, Chair, on the issue that has to do with the capacity of our DG. Indeed, there have been board appointments previously. This thing of mean challenges that had occurred, errors, error after another. And I wish to plead with the minister and the deputy minister. There must be consequences for wrongdoing. It cannot be a business as usual, Honorable Chairperson. Thirdly, Chairperson, I'm not sure it's becoming a norm, this thing of the department lying under oath, and I am not accepting the DG's apology as a person myself, as Pumela Bush Mamchonya. I am not accepting his apology, Chairperson. I so wish to also agree with the whip in that somewhere, somehow, these errors are deliberate, whether to drag the process or there is conflict of interest. And what comes to mind, Jefferson, now I'm thinking aloud in that, the former minister didn't want the DG to be part of the processes of the board. It that hence I'm concluding that there might be conflict of interest from the side of the DG.
Well done.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. No, Chair, I just want to know the I just wanted to know the terms. Let me say the appointment of the acting board. How many months are they supposed to be there? So that maybe as we overlap to this extension, we keep an eye to the compliance thereof. Because sometimes we say they are acting board for 3 months, sometimes we find that maybe they're exceeding the 3 months. Are we still within the framework or the law? So I just want to know that. And also my answer, Chair, is not responded to. I thought maybe the minister or maybe the DG, if the minister is not ready, will respond to whether those members of the board are added now. Do we have now an additional number of those members of the board as per the recommendation by this committee? Since the extension of is now on board and the numbers of 3 people, I don't think they'll be able to pull through that period that has been extended, and illegally so. And also, that is my main concern, because if you look at it means that summertime, which is the holiday time to come to South Africa by other countries, it will be time for that. The board is still 3 people. What will they have done by that time? It's time for South Africa to receive many people and to ensure that South Africa is more marketed. You know, there's a lot that needs to be done before the next season. And with these 3 people, I doubt, Honorable Chair, that you see the difference. So I want to hear if the recommendation of this committee has been done or is thought of, you know, somebody's thinking about them. Thank you.
Honorable Manette. Thanks, Chair, and greetings to the honourable members of the committee, the minister, the DM, DG, and your staff, our support team as well. Chairperson, indeed, there is an intention here to collapse the entire process of ensuring that we have a full-fledged board until our term ends. Because, Chair, I don't understand these technical errors that you are being told about. It's just a deliberate move of delaying the entire process. Probably the intention is for us to leave them as they are, so that whoever comes next administration will then appoint the new board. However, Chair, I've got questions. Also, my question would be, I'm worried about the cost of these adverts.
Mm.
Because there's also a norm here, Chair, in this department. Everything must be done twice. Because if the kind is not it, we were faced with a similar situation in terms of the gazettes and everything. And now the advent of the board members is gazetting, re-gazetting. I'm not sure that the third time one will then be. Chair, my question also would be the person tendered her resignation on the board. What were the reasons cited in that resignation? Because I mean, if somebody has resigned, or was it at the time the board was collapsing? Or I would want to know when did the person resign, and what were the cited reasons for his resignation? Because you can't be raising issues on an individual and then reappoint that person again. Obviously, her resignation was an indication that she's not interested in serving in the board. Why take the person who does not have an interest
back to the situation where the person was in, what will then change now that could not have happened at that time?
I think I'm covered for now. Those were my issues. Unless something can come up again that I can think of. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Ismail.
Thank you, Chair. I just have a few questions again. I'm partly covered by the speaker that just spoke now. The person that tendered the resignation, we want to know the reason for the resignation, because somehow we will be able to correlate to say, was this person one of the three people that resigned when the whole Tottenham deal was first put out, you know, on social media via the whistleblowers? Was it, was the resignation after that? It gives us more or less the inclination of where we are in the space with this particular member. Secondly is that, why did this oversight committee of the department actually not pick up the discrepancies with the SAT when it comes to the amount of meetings they were having, all the issues and the processes with the Tottenham deal from start to finish? If there is such an oversight body in the department, why was this entity actually left to carry on with whatever they pleased right until, you know, it reached where the whistleblower actually exposed everything into the, you know, to social media? And thirdly is that, what type of consequence management now is actually going to be taking place within the department? I'm talking about those people that are responsible in the department for this oversight, measurement. What have you actually done to address all this? Because there's been one thing after another, and by just letting it lie low, I didn't know that there was an oversight tool within the department to actually do oversight on this entity. And it's quite disappointing and worrisome to think that there is such a thing in the department, and till now we didn't even hear about it, or there was nothing constructive done before it reached to the stage of actually not having a board at all and the discussions that are taking place right now. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Matumba.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, if we have been battling when it comes to oversight. It's only on our meeting of 2nd May 2023 where we spoke more of oversight, and it was because every time we raise an issue of oversight, the DG will make it clear that he do not have the powers of oversight. And today it's new. I mean, in that meeting the minister also noted that the DG has a role to oversee that Public Financial Management Act is followed. That it was in the meeting. We were speaking more on that oversight. Now, the same DG is giving us a proper lecture on the oversight mechanism of department, something that is now new to us, that there is that oversight. Then it goes to ask a question. If there was oversight, why did we have to pick up everything either from media or when they were presenting? Because even that thing of Tottenham was not going to happen if that oversight mechanism was there. So the truth is that their department is failing to do oversight on SAT, and then blame SAT as if it's an independent body that is operating there far away from it. So, Chair, I'm extremely worried about not having the board in time. Why I say so? Chair, you will remember that last time when we came here, the minister presented, when we were asking about the cassette again, that it is in a board meeting where Mr. Vincent Zwelibanzi Mtambo said he is not available to chair the interim board, and as such he nominated Mr. Tim Harris to chair the board, right? And the Act, Section section 13, subsection 7 says the minister must appoint one of the board as chairperson and another as deputy chairperson of the board. Now, that one is telling us it is Mr. Zwelibanzi Mtambo who did the nomination and appointing of that Tim Harris as chair. And we are having something that we don't even know what it is. We can't even give it a name because whilst they're saying it's interim, the entire act doesn't have the word interim. And the entire act is clear to say they must be even given, it's even going to the question that was asked, for how long are they acting? And on what mandate? Because the act is very much clear that there must be terms and conditions on how they... So, here, when the auditor come in, the questions are going to be asked to us, how did you allow this to happen? Because that is what is going to happen, because everything that is happening in SAT today, you go to the act, most of them you will see is contrary to the act, it's coming here. So I want to make it clear today. Chair, can we please, in the meantime, clean up that interim board that is not, there is not anywhere in the act where it says interim board. Can we please get, in accordance with the act, conditions as the minister may deem necessary to manage the affairs of the board? Can we have the conditions of those people? Because the act is saying such. Can the minister please provide the conditions? If I am to give you the act properly, minister, is section 16, subsection 3, paragraph B. It will show you that appoint one or more persons on such conditions as the minister may deem necessary. So can we have them have those conditions? And also, time frame, because they can't act forever, because now they are acting as a fully fleshed board and doing things that and making sure that board has so many meetings so that they can be paid. So, lastly, Chair, we are on COVID recovery plan. How do we recover from COVID if we can't have SAT in order? Because that thing, we no longer have, let us be clear, Chair, we don't have SAT. It's not there. There's no board, there's no executive. Thanks.
Honorable Clerk, just few minutes, Chair. My apologies that I did not give a notice earlier on. I just want to comment on the comments by the minister. I think what he has just said is a step to a right direction to put her house in order with regards to what is happening in SAT. You see, we got it wrong during the time of the previous minister, because as the department, they distanced themselves altogether from what was happening in SAT. And we were very worried about that, because that is an entity of the department. I think having what you have just said is a step to the right direction, because that is the entity of the department. You are supposed to have your own oversight method over that entity. Let me just close my comment by saying, given what has just been said with regards to the advertisement, whatever, the process that's going to be followed with regards to the recruitment of board members, I think what we suggested earlier on need to be considered, to have more numbers in the interim board. That's what I wanted to, both the things of
commending you on the method to oversee the entity and revisit your what you said to us. We are not putting any words, but it's a suggestion that bring more members, because we will be mitigating against what we've just said to recommended to Parliament, to say to SAT board, I will be doing this and that to make sure that there are enough people to do oversight over that entity. And also what you have said need to be in your report to Parliament when you are doing that mitigation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mama Tego. And I think by 1:30 we need to conclude on this matter and be able to move with our agenda. But I think, Minister, the more the DG responded on the matter on the table, the more he brought confusion. Honorable Manili has covered what I noted when the DG was responding to the portfolio committee. And my question was that this chop and changing and a new advert after the other, does it not constitute a fruitless expenditure on the side of the department? And I must also mention that, you see, if you Google my name there on the internet, and any other member of parliament for that matter, you will get the contact details. And the contact details are also attached to our constituency offices there on the internet. Now, during the processes of the first leg of the nominations, the website of the department itself has serious weaknesses. I'm going to mention them. It is worse when the contact person that is written on the advert is not reachable, unreachable, the person that is there. I'm saying this and stating effect. There's certain forms there that one must download when nominating a person. Those forms are not there. They go to Google and get the forms. A consent or whatever, acceptance or whatever is outdated, which is on the website. In fact, you get through Google, it's not even on the website. It's a 2020-21 form, outdated, not a 2023. And we are now busy with the processes of the board of 2023. And when you receive such calls, you immediately, there's many questions that runs through your mind, bothering around the issue of competency in the department itself, and whether the executive authority or accounting authority in the department knows exactly the mandate and the responsibilities that are vested upon himself in ensuring that the department performs better or excellent. So I'm raising these things, Minister, and these are the things which I had taken upon my responsibility in KITIS to call the DG when those things have arisen, to say these are the issues and these are not matters which can wait for the portfolio committee for me to table. But I can tell you now to date, as of yesterday, this problem is still there. Still exists. Ne? You're going to come here in this portfolio committee and give us all these reasons and lame excuses as stipulated here by the DG. But we know exactly that there are serious weaknesses and challenges that borders around
the issue of competency there in the department. Hence we suggested what we suggested initially. Okay? So the person decides to resign from the last board, and then you take the same person back to the board. And Minister, it does not take a genius to know that when you are assigned to a responsibility by Mamu Komba, the principle is that you go and give feedback to Mamu Komba because you were mandated and assigned to that responsibility by Mamu Komba. Now, the issue of a policy which was not there, it's a fallacy. Very fallacious to say that in this meeting. Very fallacious to say that in this meeting, because before you could even go to the Act and all the laws that are there, which we've made ourselves as parliamentarians, the principle is supposed to guide our conscience. Just imagine if I can sit here, and when things transpires here in the portfolio committee, I don't report them to the chief whip of the majority party. I don't report them to the chair of chairs. It's an anomaly. Now, the issue of the person that was assigned there by the department, we need to address the issue of principle. That when you're assigned to a responsibility, you know your first point of call. We should have not been seized by the issue of putting a more space, if that was the case. And now, the next question that arises from our mind is that this so-called oversight committee of the department, where was it all along? Where was it? Where do they derive their mandate from? If the one that is there does not even report to the oversight committee of the department on issues of South African tourism, where does this person report? Because at least if the person does not report to the DG, that person must report to the oversight committee of the department, or perhaps this person is supposedly to be one that sits on the oversight committee of the department that also sits in the SAT board. If we are to operate seamlessly without any hindrance, that was supposed to be the case. But here, it's not the case. And as a committee, we will always, without fear of contradictions, robustly implement and also do our oversight role without fear of contradictions. Right? The beauty about this government, it has introduced through the constitution the issue of separation of power. So that is always going to give us a power to implement our robust oversight over both the department and South African tourism. Now, yabona ke minister, now I'm very outspoken. I speak with conviction at all material times. If you are going to allow the DG to mislead you, you will find yourself at loggerheads with this portfolio committee. I'm telling you now, clean. Because the issue that we are discussing here of the Gazette, the fine print on there, it is you that is implementing all this in the end. It might look as if the DG is witnesses or the DG has done this, but the question is, why did the minister not see the fine print? Why did the minister not see the fine print? That will be the question. Because it borders on your competency as well, because people that are behind the scenes are not known. We know that the Gazette is done by the minister. All South Africans know that. They don't know that there's a certain DG by the name of Mr. Vita Taraj, who has not done his work. Who looks better in the public domain? It's the minister. So when honorable members of the portfolio committee are raising the issue of consequence management and all the wrongdoings that have been done, I want to concur with them, because there is no way that we are going to let things be under our watch. Honorable Makubela raises the issue of deliberate sabotage, supported by Honorable Mbushi. What came to my mind is that when I arrived in Parliament, I was assigned to the Portfolio Committee on Energy. At some point, we were invited to the University of the Western Cape to discuss the issue of nuclear with those people from overseas, and the professor, I forgot the professor, felt that nuclear was dangerous and nuclear must be phased out by the country. And in his presentation, by mistake, or perhaps he thought that all of us in that lecture hall were retards, he speaks and refers to Fukushima, which occurred out of the country long ago, and refers to that as dangerous, and nuclear is dangerous. Little did he know that we were empowered enough to understand that Fukushima was man-made. It was not because nuclear was dangerous, but it was man-made deliberately, so that they have a case in saying that countries must phase out nuclear, nuclear is dangerous. This is what we are confronted with in this department. We are confronted with that. Deliberately, you don't follow the Act. When it suits you, you apply all the prescripts that are in the Act. But when it suits you and convenient to you, you don't apply these prescripts. You know, in that discussion of Marx, Lenin, in the last meeting, I landed with one quote, which I want to repeat to you now, Minister, that bureaucracy is the art of making the possible impossible. And these bureaucrats that are led by the DG, they can only stop that if the political head has a hard hand on them. And it cannot be that since you came to this department, we see digression. And all the things that we are ahead with, they are now backward. What are we going to report on our legacy report that we are expected to leave as the Portfolio Committee and Sixth Parliament? What would be our achievements? That was stopped Tottenham Hotspur, and that the board was dissolved, and this and that. On policy matters, what have we achieved? On stability of the entities, what have we achieved? What are we going to say? That no, we found a DG that has been there for 10 years and that there's been no improvement. It can't be. Because on our legacy report, we have to reflect things as they transpired, so that the people that will be in this portfolio committee in the 7th Parliament, they know exactly where to start. So, I really don't know, honorable members. And I think, let me also use this opportunity, Minister, and state that I'm going to send the info to Lee, that a case has been opened in Cape Town Police Station against Ms. Kolega Zama, who lied to Parliament
as per the powers and privileges, one of the honorable members saw it fit after consulting his caucus to go and open a case against Ms. Kolegazam. That was brought to my attention by policemen. Imagine receiving a call from a policeman myself. Shocking. Now, that borders around the seriousness of the meetings of Parliament. And that if you are in the portfolio committee and think that you're not there in that honorable house of Nelson Mandela, you are mistaken, because this is the same thing. The portfolio committee is Parliament. Everything that we do here is Parliament, guided by Parliament and its rules book. So I thought it's important also to raise that and put it on record that there's a case opened. Perhaps Ms. Zama would be also contacted by the police. I will send the case number to Lee after our meeting, because I need to peruse on my notes where that case number is. So we are registering our dissatisfaction again on the side of the department. As we said in our previous portfolio committee, that as much as there's issues at SAT, this department is ailing and not executing its responsibilities at all. So I'm going to land there and allow you to say what you want to say, Minister, because your hand is up, I can see.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. And thank you for all the input by all the members. Chairperson, I want to make a few proposals and commitments to the committee. And the first one being that all the oversight reports from the branch within the department, I will source that from the department and submit to the portfolio committee. That's the first one. I also want to propose to the members that if you are suggesting or proposing that we change the member that was appointed to the board, that that can be done. One of the members asked about the resignation. I received the resignation letter on the 11th of April from the honorable member, the honorable board member, and she had served on the board from the 26th of October 2022. If you can recall, there were where those resignations between the 8th and the 13th of April, where most of the board members resigned. I also received a resignation letter from her. The issue about consequence management and the point raised by the chair, whether this does not account to fruitless or wasteful expenditure, I will certainly institute an inquiry there and consequence management to make sure that there's not fruitless and wasteful expenditure, because the AG will pick it up. But I will discuss with the DG on a way to proceed with this. Also, I don't want to create the impression, honorable members, that I don't want to be held accountable. I want to be held accountable. The buck stops here. I have just pleaded, and I'm there for 3 months now, so I can't use the time anymore. I think 3 months must be sufficient for me to get on top of the issues. And therefore, I have, and I've mentioned it to the committee before, I arrived on the 6th of April, 2023. And I will be in consultation with the presidency and GCIS. We have to present a 100-day report. That's the first thing. The second one is that I have received 5 priorities from the president and the deputy president that I'm reporting on a monthly basis. And within 6 months' time, which will be in September, all of those issues need to have been ticked off as achieved. I can share that information with the committee too. Just last week or the week before, I think the presidency had 2 more priorities. So we now have 7 priorities that we have to report on to a monthly basis, both to DPME and to the president. So for me, it's not only about a legacy, but for me it is that we have come to the end, the last year of the 6th administration chair. And we have to, and I had several meetings with the department to say that we must achieve the 5-year plan, the MSDS. And we must make sure that our APP of the current financial year is designed in such a way that we push to reach those targets, because it is the last financial year for those terms. So I'm in the process also of getting some capacity around me that can assist me with oversight of the department. I meet with the DG on a bi-weekly basis. In that meeting, we discuss any of the stumbling blocks. I also meet with the deputy minister on a weekly basis. He's a great source of strength and knowledge and institutional knowledge, so I do get a lot of advice and help also from the deputy minister. Just on SAT, the one big weakness, honorable members and honorable chair, in SAT is all of those vacancies that we have, all of those acting positions. Last week, Monday, at 5 o'clock, I called a meeting with the board because I wanted to know what are they doing with filling of those vacancies. I have now received a list of vacancies that they are going to advertise. According to them, they will be meeting with the recruitment agency. SAT apparently has got a panel of recruitment agencies. So they are meeting with them, and the positions that they are going to advertise is to fill all of those positions. It is the CEO, the CFO, the CMO, the CFO, the head of internal audit, and also the Chief Conventions Bureau head. Those are the advertisements that they, I mean, those are the posts that they're discussing with the recruitment agency that need to be advertised. Because that also leads to weaknesses within the entity because of those acting positions. We take an example of the acting CEO now. Her full-time post is Chief Operations Officer. So it's difficult for one person to manage 2 positions. So the sooner those positions in the administration is dealt with, I think we will be able to see some changes in SAT. I am also honorable members, managing the request for international travel by SAT. I'm also managing that now so that we can comply with the, I'll just give you the, there is a just get it quickly. There is a memorandum from the National Treasury to all ministers. And then what as ministers we are, we have to monitor, and that is also applicable with, within the department, is the National Treasury instruction, where we have to check compliance with cost containment measures. Institutions must assist employees involved in the arrangement of travel to comply with the provision of this Treasury instruction to avoid possible irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. As National Treasury Instruction Number 7 of 2223, cost containment measures, and all ministers in all their departments have to make sure that we report to National Treasury on the cost containment measures. Then just the last one, Chairperson, dealt with the filling of the vacancies. I'll quickly just check, DG, I think the Gazette came out yesterday, the 5th. Yeah, not today. Just check. We check on the computer now. So those are the points that I want to make, Chairperson. And I just want to again say that, you know, I would like to, and going forward, work with the committee. I certainly have got no intention to undermine the Committee of Parliament. I agree, and the Deputy Minister will attest to this, that the past 14 months before the 6th of April, this department was managed by the DM, and it was almost running on autopilot. So there are a lot of issues here, Honourable Members, that we are working on together to make sure that we put the necessary systems in place so that we can improve performance. As we are dealing today with the first and second quarter report of the last financial year, the report that I received in terms of the Oversight Committee, because I also didn't know about the Oversight Committee, but that report also deals with the 22-23 financial year. And maybe we need to, I'll make sure Chairperson then forward that report to you. Thank you very much.
Yes, Honourable Chair, I'm not not beginning with a new item, but just to remind the Minister to respond on the issue of the additional members in the board. I didn't hear her responding to that again.
Chairperson, like I've indicated to the committee, I will consider that, and based on the discussion of today, I will report back to the next committee. Thank you.
Can you proceed with the presentation?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I will do the presentation. The presentation is the quarterly performance reports for Honourable Chairperson. I just feel that I do need to confirm with Honourable Members that I do not have any conflict of interest whatsoever at SAT.
No one said you must respond to that.
Okay.
We said table the report.
All right.
Please.
The report will cover the service delivery environment that was that's April to September 2022. It will also cover the performance overview, and then we'll go to each of the different programs, and then we'll also provide information with regards to the human resources, and then we'll go to the financial information. At the back of the presentation, we've got information regarding the various acronyms that have been used in the presentation. In the policy research and knowledge management environment of the Chairperson and honorable members, we had an environment where, because we had come out of the COVID lockdown period, we were then able to start getting information from people face to face in terms of the various impact studies that we were actually conducting. But also what was important is that we were also liaising, largely these missions were led by the Deputy Minister, we were liaising with the South African diplomats abroad and also within the continent. That allowed us to be able to understand the environment within which tourism recovery was taking place, both for inbound but also for the various markets themselves. And in the destination development environment, people had been able to go back to the sites in terms of construction, albeit that there was quite a bulk of work that was actually a planning phase, but also what also relates partly to program four is the fact that people were also able to go back to the classrooms and so on. Changes had been made during that particular period to the Green Tourism Incentive Program. That then enabled a better turnaround times, and also the uptake was beginning to improve. Safety and security did remain a bigger challenge in that particular environment, and some of the things honorable members would have actually deliberated on previously with regards to some of the challenges that we experience in places like Mpumalanga and so on. And then the admin environment, this particular period is the period where we actually submitted the books to the AGSA, and during that particular period it was again the period that a bulk of the audit queries and so on would actually come and would then have to make sure that those are attended to. So that was actually the kind of internal environment that we're dealing with. But part of what needs to be noted is that this is also coinciding with the period when we were returning back to the office fully, and the transition from people working virtually to people actually beginning to do their work in the office. In terms of the actual performance in terms of quarter one, the bulk of the program one performance was work that was at an advanced stage, but that was not as yet concluded for that particular quarter. Program two, they had achieved all their targets. Program three, they had achieved all their targets, and program four was 83% of their targets overall. The department was at 82.69% of the achievement. For quarter two, overall achievement was 83.3%, gradual improvement from quarter one, albeit that quarter two, program three and four were slightly less than the previous quarter. Of course, it's largely due to the number of targets. The lesser the targets, the higher the percentage in terms of even one single target not necessarily achieved during that particular period. and there was a slight improvement in terms of quarter one, in terms of program one in relation to quarter one. Honorable Chairperson, going into the actual performance lines in terms of what exactly was done, for the first one, the number of monitoring and evaluation projects on tourism projects and initiatives developed. I don't know, Honorable Chairperson, whether I should skip the achieved and focus on the areas where we have challenges, or should I go through all of them? Honorable Chairperson, I was saying whether I should concentrate on areas where we did not achieve and the areas that have been achieved, then I leave them. Just to highlight and then move on.
Chair, I suggest that he presents the report as it is. Thank you.
Thank you. So, in terms of the program three rather, in the first quarter, we developed a proposal for the evaluation of the impact of the resource efficiency project. And in the second quarter, we dealt with the data collection, and this was as per the plan. And we also undertook the monitoring of the capacity building program, and we continued with that throughout quarter two. It is an annual target, and that process continues throughout the various quarters. We also reviewed the framework for the tourism, for the state of tourism report, and we then finalized the state of tourism report. And these reports are available and can be shared with the honorable members. Then, in terms of the quarterly reports against the tourism sector recovery plan, we developed that report, and we do that on a quarterly basis. So we did that for quarter one, and we did that also for quarter two. And then there were terms of reference for the development of the state and availability of tourism statistics and resources at provincial level. This is a project that essentially is trying to get to a point where we will be able to have a harmonized approach to provincial tourism statistics, and that too was actually achieved. In terms of the tourism and employment portal, the requirements for the system were actually defined the way developed. And we did the same also for the tourism data analysis and the system that would assist us in terms of being able to obtain sentiments with regards to tourism and the analysis of the tourism environment. In terms of the white paper,
No, it's not out of order, but I'm just worried, Honorable Chair, because I see on this slide 16, he's reporting on 2020-2021. Which financial year are we actually getting the report from? Because I see it is matters. Here we have covered matters that are referred to 2020-2021 state of tourism finalized, published, and all that. Which financial year are we at?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. It lags behind because of the data processes with the SSA and so on. So we have to finalize in the following year. So all the time we finalize in the following year as opposed to finalizing within that particular year. It would also include data that would have actually been dated 31st of that particular March, which would have been data that could only then be used subsequent to the end of that particular financial year.
Which is what?
It could be data related to performance in terms
2021 of 2021 or 2022? We are 2023 now. I think Mamukomba wants to know.
The report we are giving is for first and second quarter 2022-23. The data that is referenced that Mamukomba has raised a question about would be coming from the year prior to the year that we are actually reporting, because we are concluding a report that deals with the state as was, and that year would have closed at 31st March of the previous year, which would be 21-22.
We are 2023 June.
Yes.
So that's where the confusion and the question arises from.
This sitting honorable chairperson is 2022-23, the sitting today. The year that is referenced in the report is 21.
2021. So yes.
That's correct. That is correct. It is something, honorable chairperson, it's something that we don't have control over, because it is the sources of data that we have got to use, unfortunately.
I'm still the chair of the meeting. When is that?
I'm also just trying to, chairperson, for you to understand the date. I think when I look through the request for the previous minister to present reports to the committee, there were two requests previously from the committee to present quarter one and quarter two of the last financial year. So quarter one and quarter two and quarter three and quarter four for that last financial year. We have now put all of that data together by the 31st of May to be submitted to the AG for auditing. So that information should be available, unless DG is saying that the information that's available now for quarter one and quarter two of the last financial year has not been audited.
My financial year, which is what date, Minister?
No, this is what I'm saying.
For the benefit of these honorable members.
We are now 2 years. We're talking about what something that didn't even happen last financial year. We're talking about what happened in that financial year, which was the 21-22. I'm also seeking clarity if my understanding is that we're coming to report on quarter one and quarter two of the last financial year.
Yeah, that's our understanding as well.
Honorable Chairperson, let me ask DDG Malan to respond to the time lag of the data, the specific data set.
DDG Malan.
Thank you very much.
What is the last financial year as we are sitting here?
No, the last
When was the last financial year?
The last financial year ended in 2023. What we are reporting on there for the first part of the last financial year, so the first two quarters, we published the State of Tourism Report with reference to 2020-2021. So that is the State of Tourism Report that we published by the end of September 2022, but the reference period was 2020-2021. The reason for that, Honourable Chair, is, as DG also indicated, that we use the information provided by Statistics South Africa, and the data that they publish come with a lag. So there is a lag in terms of that now released in this year, 2020 tourism satellite account. So we are dealing with the lag, and the normal national accounts follows the same process. So we are working with that lag. In this period, there was an additional difficulty in the fact that we went through COVID, and StatsSA had to change
the method. You see, this thing of COVID, it has become apartheid in this department. It has become apartheid South Africa in this department, this thing of COVID. Everything COVID. I mean, there are positives that were brought by COVID. Did you leverage that? Yes or no? Because if we can, Dr. Huza Utin.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry to disturb the meeting. As the chairperson saw me walking to the beach in day, I think what is confusing the meeting, I don't want to say the failure, because even now TPG Malan is trying to extend this thing. Maybe it's for the department to take the committee through the process of collection of information and the release of statistics, after which as the department they start developing these reports, because if the report comes as 2021, it seems like it is misleading, because I think that is the process that should be created to the committee, because in terms of how that is, because they can only start formulating these reports after SSA has published their information, which will be a year before. That is what they are not explaining maybe properly to the committee, to say they are using information for a year before. No, the information they are using, like we are in 2023 now,
yeah.
The information for this year will only be available, if you look at the entire year, will only be available next year.
Yeah.
Meaning if the reporting notice on the following year, you cannot report on 2023. 2022-2023 in 2022-2023, because information for this year will only be available next year. So I think that is what they should clearly explain to the committee, so that this confusion, because I can see members are struggling with information, well, it's a technical matter in terms of how information, in terms of statistics is released, after which they start developing their reports. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Bush.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would understand, Chairperson, what Dr. Kuzayo is explaining if here we were presented with 2021-2022. This document states 2020-2021, which is the financial year, which is previous, not even the 2022 or 2021-2022.
I
come
Dr.
Also, Chairperson, I'm not sure I need update. Want to tell me that the department is presenting to us information based on what is reported by the SSA.
You can't have the information.
Honorable Maneli, followed by Honorable Matumba.
Thanks, Chair. The last has come to share has covered me.
Honorable Matumba.
No, yeah, thanks, Chair. She also covered me on the 2020-2021 because there's a gap now of 2021-2022. And the another one, the question she asked, is it copy and paste of State SA? Do they wait for data from State SA when in their report they are spending 1.4 billion on tourism research policy international research. What are they really researching? Which one is the data that belongs to them? If then they are to be relying on State SA so that we can get state of tourism in
your mic is off. We have not recorded anything.
No, thanks. I'm covered on the 2020-2021 that we're not supposed to get the 2021-2022 and also on the reliance on research. How much are they relying on State SA when they are spending more than a billion on tourism research? Aren't they supposed to have their own data so that they can be up they can be up to date? Because the money they are spending, it's more if they are to be relying on State SA. If State SA is not to run properly tomorrow, they are not going to report to say State SA didn't release the data. So it's the reliance on State SA on that, and a lot of money is being spent on tourism. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps maybe the DG and Ms. Malan, Anna-Marie, just to maybe empower us with the process that you had followed, because I remember in last term there was a process where we questioned the issue of this data that you are relying on, because the environment will tell you that things would have changed significantly by the time you are reporting on. And then, but you at that time you mentioned that you did not have the capacity to collate your own statistics, and also if you do collate your own statistics, it would not be official statistics, but only State SA is the only entity that can empower us with official statistics. But then also the money that you spend on STS, because STS SA does not do this out of their free will, or they do not do it as in kind. But you pay for that specific part of the questionnaire that has your information that you would want STS SA in their questionnaire to collect this information on your behalf. But we talked about a backup, even if it's not official statistics, but a process that would say, in the event that you are still waiting for State SA, what then hinders you from putting out a questionnaire the same way that State SA does, perhaps maybe just to get a glimpse of the environment at that time, so that you can be able to also compare, because in the current situation that we are in, we'll always be working with outdated data, if we have to put it as such. Perhaps in the future, this is for the future, because currently what you still do is rely on the data set from State SA. What is the process that you have put in place, DG? Because I remember quite clearly there was this process to say, put up your own process. Mom TS can attest to say, have your own set of questionnaire that you can send out electronically. So even the business sector, TBSA, was also wanting to assist you with such information so that you can rely on updated data, although it's not official. A disclaimer was to be put that it is not official statistics, but it is information that you can do planning on. And that's my submission, Chair.
Honorable Goma.
Thank you very much. Chair, I want to agree with the Honorable Makubela that the department needs to also come up with systems that will assist them in collecting their own data. Because coming up with old data like 2020, 2021, you're coming up with an outdated data. And also, how do you think that the department will be audited by the Auditor General when you are coming up with wrong data? Because you'll know, right now, annually you get audited by Auditor General. You're coming up with data of 2023, 2024. How will he analyze your performance with outdated data? So I think you need to correct that. Thank you very much.
Ngiyabona ke Minister. In that meeting, in the meeting of the 7th with the previous minister and in the meeting of the with the department, the meeting after the one of the 2nd, I raised a point that in terms of the Act, the minister must establish national tourism information and tourism systems for collecting, recording, managing, analyzing, disseminating information and data on tourism and monitoring developments and trends in tourism. And that madam there responded in our meeting without raising hand, saying that no, it's there, we have it, if you still remember vividly. And the DG said, I know it's there. Why, here today, with a copy and paste. Because from what Dr. Akuzayo is saying, that the report of this year will appear next year. That's what Dr. Akuzayo is saying. The report of this financial year will appear next year. Now, we are sitting with a report of the last of the last of the last year, this year. Ne? Now, my definition of the leg, in simple terms, for me, self-assistance, is that if you go to an institution of higher learning to study honors degree, and then you don't pass the modules, you can carry those modules to the next year. It means they are hooked. So these ones, yeah, are carrying the failed modules of that year and that year and that year this year. I'm just simplifying it for myself. Because if you are to talk about the leg as they are explaining the leg, my simple understanding is that they are carrying modules of 2020. Modules of 2020 which they failed now in 2023. That's my understanding of what we, and that minister comes to a point where I see no reason for us to continue with this meeting because we are all misled by the department, including yourself. Because remember, before these reports come to portfolio committees of parliament, all portfolio committees of parliament, they must be signed off by the political heads, which is the ministers of the department. That has been a standard procedure. And now we are all sitting here, and because Abo Mamuko and Bashem is old people who are still studying. She finished the honors last year, and this year she's busy with what, her master's, so reading is in her system. So if we all read and then can't pick up these things, one of us will pick up. So how do we move forward in a situation like this? DG, you are noted. Finally, you are raising your hand. Hoping it's not much easier.
Chairperson, I completely get where the committee is coming from. I think there is a difference. This is a monitor trend. And the department government has got a different accounting system. We come to every year the APP of this department is approved by the committee. And in that APP you've got targets, you've got projects with targets. You must deliver X number of jobs. If you must deliver 10,000 jobs at the end of quarter four, then you need to break it down and say every quarter we're going to break it down to get to that amount. That is not monitored by STATS-SA. STATS-SA and the department is different. Where there are some overlaps, just now in the first quarter of 2023, STATS-SA reported on the arrival figures of the country between January 2023 and March 2023, the first quarter of 2023, that is a report of 1.2 million people arrived in the country. So I think I need to sit with the department, and maybe DM can help also, just to find out this link that we are making to STATS-SA and having to wait for STATS-SA. I know in my previous life, I was called to the portfolio committee on the current financial years, quarter one and quarter two, you had to come and report. And because they also want to see how we are spending the money. And if we are lagging behind in implementation, then we have to explain to the committee why we are slow on that specific target. So I can completely understand where you're coming from, and I will hear what DM is saying. But this is definitely not linked to STATS-SA. There might be some of the targets linked to STATS, but not the department's full operational plan. I looked at the report that was now submitted to the AG on the 31st of May. And I made a lot of notes that I need to go back to the department to go and check. Because therein is a breakdown, honorable members, of where there was overspend or underspend on different projects or programs within the department. So I do think that we need to go back and honorable members and chairperson, and we need to go and correct this. DM?
No, thanks, Chair, and greetings, members and the members. Maybe there are few things that we might not be in the same interpretation. We must first understand, what do you mean by state of tourism? What information is that? State of tourism. What is to be collected to say this is a state of tourism? And where is that information should be collected? So that we have an understanding of the state of tourism. Is it 100% reliance on SA, on states SA? I don't think so. It's a combination of both. The state SA, but the department also had to correlate information on its own. Then combined with what states SA produced, then it produced a final state of tourism. The the challenge that we have is that we don't know, because it, you see the way how APPs are being written now, for me it's also a problem. We don't know what is that state of tourism. I don't remember whether members have ever been given that information. What does that information contain? So, we just tick the box without going into the details, what is it? But the second issue is that honourable members should realize that we are dealing with this thing that we're dealing with today. We should have dealt with it somewhere in July last year. That's another thing that must take into consideration. So we must not say, no, this is 2023. This information we should have dealt with it July last year.
So why did you not deal with it?
Because you didn't call us to come and deal with it. Yes, we come to Parliament on the basis of the portfolio committee inviting us. We don't impose ourselves. It's like that, Chairperson. We don't invite ourselves in the meeting. We get invited by the portfolio committee. So this first quarter report was available in July last year. Yes, it was available July last year. So if the portfolio committee would have called us in July last year, we would have presented this what we are presenting now.
The point of order. Nkalenga, that's
the DM is out of order in that we are dealing with the 2022-2023 first and second quarters. On this pay slide that we are on, slide 16, it's written the annual targets, which to me would be 2022-2023. Then on the annual targets, the state of tourism has been finalized and published in 2020-2021, meaning that they do not have the current or the previous year, which would be 2021-2022. Chairperson, that's my point of order, Chair. And I would have agreed with him if he had stopped where he started in terms of collation of data and annual performance plan. The unfortunate part, Chairperson, is that this is not the only department that is oversighted by Parliament, and we do not get to get this in other departments. I don't know why it's only here in tourism that we get high levels of unprofessionalism.
Honorable Mpushe, we gave it a look at their bully.
All right.
Well, Umjahile, honorable member, I was still coming to the point. What I'm saying is, this what we're dealing with, it's an APP that was presented in the previous financial year.
Mm-hmm.
Which APP was approved by this committee with this annual target. This is not the target that we've just created now. No.
DM,
it's
I
an annual target that the portfolio committee approved.
Dr. Kuzwa, you provide a simple definition of what we are seized with currently. Dr. Kuzayo makes it simple for all of us to understand that the report financially of this year, we will receive it next year, meaning that today we are receiving a report of last year, which is 20, 2022. Now, in front of us, there's a 2020-2021 situation, and UDM wants to justify that here in the meeting. No, you are wrong. Puma kuyo UDM because you're wrong. Puma kuyo because you're wrong. We are going to consistent. I mean, you further imply that we did not summon the department in 2020 and in 2021. In 2022, the department did not come to the portfolio committee. It can never be correct. So, Pumapa, because we are going to have hands up, Oko, there will be robots, red robots, on the side of the portfolio committee members. The more you speak, the more you invite red robots. And it can't be that we are, Buya, DM, come, be here in the meeting with us. Yeah, please, Buya, DM. Oh yeah, because now we are delaying us. I think women is there any right to say we must allow you to go back and ratify this thing, because it's not a good reflection on the side of the department and the competency thereof that we spoke about earlier on. And UDM, you know, UDM minister, maliciously so, he asked a wrong question. Obana, what do we understand by state of tourism? And what does it contain? Implying that we don't know what we are doing here. Minister, I'm reiterating this point. Because the DM would have not arrived at what he's questioning us, which in actual fact, as he is pointing fingers at us, more fingers are pointing on your side. Because this Tourism Act, Chapter 2, page 10, number 5, A says, the Minister under National Tourism Information and Monitoring System, it says that the Minister must establish a National Tourism Information and Monitoring System for A, collecting, recording, managing, analyzing, and disseminating information and data on tourism, and monitoring developments and trends in tourism. This means that as Department of Tourism, we can never rely on State's essay at any given point. You woke us at 1 o'clock, we must be able to tell you the trends and the information thereof about tourism in South Africa based on what the Department of Tourism has. Now, we derive our understanding on the information and state of tourism based on the Act, which is guiding all of us. So that question by the DM, it does not arise in this meeting. Because all of you are responsible to give us information, not even answers, but information on tourism. As and when an information arises, the department must provide that information. Now, I'm saying now for the last time, Minister, the sooner you establish this National Tourism Information and Monitoring System, the better. I tell you why. During that debacle of Tottenham Hotspur, the former CEO goes on national television speaking about aggravated or whatever. Mam Gomba is very educated than all of us. Audiences, right? And then they venture into how many tourists that came to the country, and guess what? South African Tourism or Tourism SA disputed that and dismissed it with facts. And we realized at that point that this department is not only failing the country, but has serious shortcomings in terms of capacity. Because the ministers that were there before, they themselves failed to establish this national tourism information and monitoring system. For what? I don't know. What are they doing with their research? As Honorable Matumba, 1 billion allocation. What are they doing? What are they doing? Because this is the machinery that is supposed to be seized with this information and research for the department. Because this machinery that must be established by the minister is the one that must provide not only the support to the department but also information and monitor the department itself on behalf of the Minister of Tourism. You can go on and go on and go on. Information on tourism businesses, this is the machinery that is supposed to be giving you that information. And now we're seated here listening to the DM, I am undermining and insulting our intelligence. DM, Mutalangat. I don't want to sound like Babe Sodomo, but angeke nvume. I never. Angeke. Minister.
Chairperson, can I just seek clarity so that when we go back, we know exactly what the committee wants. The financial year ended on the 31st of March, 2023.
Yes.
So you want that information, what happened in that financial year in quarter one and in quarter two. So that's last financial year. This is what, according to what is on the cover of this, the committee was asking for the quarterly performance report for the 22-23 financial year. Now I'm saying that financial year ended now. The end of March. So, but because we passed quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, we spent all of that money. So what the committee wants to see is that what did we do in quarter one and quarter two last year? Then also, you know, And we are in a position now where we have submitted a report to the Auditor General for auditing for the financial year ending the 31st of March 2023. And in that audit report to the AG, there's details of what the department did in quarter one and what we did in quarter two, and the money that's connected to what we have spent. Because I don't want us to come back, because that will be unaudited figures now, but it is there, we've sent it to the AEP for auditing. Is that the information that the committee would like us to come back with? Because in the APP give you just a heading, but then the department has to go and take that heading and produce an operational plan, how they're going to implement what is there, and a business plan. And I have asked for that operational plan and the business plan for the financial year that we're in now that started on the 1st of April. Then the department also in the submission to the AG, the department have made notes for the attention of the AG on, say, for instance, advertising. There was a 27% increase in advertising. Agency and support, there was a 39% increase. So DG and DM, I want to propose to the committee that we go back and get some of that information of what happened. What did the department do last year in the first and the second quarter? But now we are past that. We even got the third and the fourth quarter because the whole report has been submitted to the AG. And then we have to re-look at the systems of reporting and what the chair is making a reference to, this monitoring, what's it called? Chapter 2, page 10, National Tourism Information System. Because remember, this act is 2014. So what we also have to do is to read, this act must be read together with the regulations of the act. And so we need to check the regulations of the act in terms of establishing this. And then a DG and the rest of the DDGs can advise us as to why this was not established. And if we establish this, how is it going to improve our performance in terms of reporting to the committee? And that's why I agree with the chairperson that we can close the meeting now, because we're going to go through very, very old information. And my understanding is not, that's not what the committee wants us to do. Thank you, chairperson.
Honorable Manet, followed by Mbusha, and then Honorable Makube.
Chairperson, I think firstly we need to remind the DG and the entire department, but there was a time where we'll wake up and get into flights and come into these committee rooms, not to consider any report. There was an era where we used to not entertain the Makubis Magatakon until we took a decision about no, we can no longer do that because some of the work gets delayed. This is part of the work that we're supposed to have considered at that time that could not be considered, Chairperson. It's not like we never called the department to come and account on the first and second quarter of the previous financial year. It was because of them not having a political leadership at the time when we needed to consider some of the things. And also, Chair, I must say, I wanted to also clarify in terms of this, because in my understanding, Chair, it's only this indicator in terms of the report that is dependent on external people. Hence, Chairperson, I will feel that let's consider and with the report and complete it, because it's going to be another backlog again. Because it's not like the entire report is dependent on this external indicator. If it was that, then we will then not consider the report. But because of that indicator, that could be attended to when they come and present the third quarter and fourth quarter report. Because we're extending a backlog now, Chairperson. Mm-hmm. That would be my plea to the committee. We're almost towards the end of completing the presentation. If you can just get the presentation and get done with it. Unless there are other indicators that will experience the same challenges because of external information that is not dependent on them, notwithstanding the decision that we must do whatever it is that we must do in terms of the research to be able to have the required information next time. Thank you, Chair.
The problem is government-based in a nutshell.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Bush. Yes, Chairperson, on my arrival here in Parliament, it was on 2020 in August, on the 9th of August. At the time, the Chairperson of the committee was the Honorable S.O.R. Supra Mahumapi. So 2020-2021, Chairperson. I'm not sure get Chairperson, because I think that falls under that time, Chairperson, that financial year, Chair. Secondly, Chairperson, my humble proposal, Chair, is that when they are coming back, Chairperson, we so wish to get details on what is presented in the summary. I've seen a high level of professionalism in that committee, which standing committee which I served in, of the Auditor General, where they will give you the summary and give you a report with details in terms of what is presented on the summary, Chairperson. That's my 2 cents contribution, Chairperson, on the matter, and I agree with you. We cannot continue with the report that we are not sure of its authenticity.
Honorable Makube.
Chair, I just want to be empowered here. In terms of the area which we are saying rely is dependent on an external information, which is the information that we are saying now is 2021's information, which is outdated. What then becomes of future reports? Because all future reports will entail the same error in terms of the same concern which we will have. And then also just to be empowered here in terms of what the minister has indicated to say, right now we were acknowledging the stats or the information on the tourist arrival, which was for the first quarter from January till March. And that was updated on the spot information. What then brings that information is it because the Home Affairs system can simply see Lusizo Makubela ungenile Maputo uyangena ubuyela ngane South Africa, so that information is readily available and that informs the figures that we were speaking on. And then this information on the state of tourism, just to report directly to the DM, is that we are well aware of how this information is collated and what the report entails, the state of tourism. According to the information that I have, it's run by the household survey. And then there is a part where StatsSA has a set of questions that ask in this house how many people traveled, where did you travel to, and so on. It relies on that sample. And then because in its nature, that information is not information that is reported quarterly in by StatsSA. It's not a quarterly survey. It's the household survey is a survey that is run annually. So it will still impact. Perhaps maybe to go back to StatsSA and find out if this information that we want for future to be put on quarterly data collection, perhaps that can also improve the information that we'll be getting as that you'll be getting as the department that you'll be able to use. So that's I'm putting this chair so that we understand for the future how we are going to handle this part, because seemingly we will still be able to, we will still be confronted with this process. And then my other last question, Chair, would be the manner in which we also conduct our own oversight or when we invite the department to come. Because right now, they tabled a few weeks ago the APP for 2022-2023, which means that the reporting for the first and the second quarter, well, it will not be with us, because by that time we would have long gone as members of parliament, would not be part of this portfolio committee, because our term ends next year in May. So I want to perhaps get an understanding, Chair, when will this be up for reporting? Maybe Dr. Kuzo, I can try to come in so that we understand if this is not going to be a recurring issue of the department bringing in information to us, which at that time it's just a compliance matter. We would not do anything with that information, because currently, even now, what is before us, if I understand it, it's information that we can't even use, but it's just a compliance and reporting to us. But there's nothing that we can change. We can just only note and note that they had complied to bring quarterly reports to the portfolio committee, but the copy and paste, well, it's something else. Because on my side, currently, what I have a problem, or what my concern is, or it's not actually my concern, but the information is 2021's stats information, so it's facts and it's official statistics which the department used. Which they have no control over, Chair, because it's information that they get for the previous year while they're reporting for the following year. Perhaps maybe that's for the future, if we can maybe get a way forward, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable De Freitas.
Thank you, Chair.
By Honorable Matumba, and then Mamsa will be the last.
Thanks, Chair. I won't repeat what's been said, because what I wanted to say has been said by colleagues, but just one thing is I'm very surprised with the Deputy Minister. He's saying he relies on us to call for information and whatever needs to be there on the agenda. This is a two-way street, and I've never heard of that because the committee may not have called in specifically to report, that they just don't. That's really my only addition. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, tourism is the most dynamic industry. It's like fashion. It's like fashion and music. It's current things. The in-house data collection must be done. That's why it's even in the Act, because those who made the law knew that this thing require people who are dynamic. People, if we are to wake you up in the middle of the night, you must know what is currently happening in the tourism industry. So, to have 2021 state of tourism, it doesn't even assist, let alone the reporting. And again, on the reporting, if you are to use the previous data, but you are reporting for this year, you must be clear, you are reporting for this year using the previous data. So the writing can't be 2020, 2021, because you are not reporting for that year. There is a report for that particular year. So for this year, the report must be 2020, yes, but inside the report, what the other member was saying, that we must get a full report and a summary. Then inside that report, that's where we'll see that the data that was used is the data from that particular year of 2020, 2021. So as it is, it doesn't hold any water check. And I think the colleagues have already assisted in terms of why some of them, the history must be clear. This committee always come here, the political principles were not coming, and the report was not received, because we can't receive a report without a political principle. And again, Chair, we are coming here to sit for the meeting. The same thing is happening. Maybe this meeting should have been proceeding, but the reporting are not in order. What you are doing there in Department of having errors in gazettes, you are doing it in our reports. And unfortunately, we don't take such reports. Yes, so we don't take such, because this will stay with us forever, that you took a report of 2020-2021 and did oversight on it without checking what's properly happening. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was to correct one of my colleagues to say the APP that we're dealing with is 2023-2024 that we have recently dealt with. I have a suggestion to say, to make things flow in the portfolio committee, there needs to be a background talk between the head, political head of the department, and the political head of the portfolio committee. That would make things flow. What we expect as the portfolio committee, what the meeting would expect from the department. I think there must be that background meeting so that just on principles to say we are ready with the performance report of such and such a quarter, because here in the portfolio committee we have to adopt a program of committee, but there is something that we have reminded us about, that your performance is audited. I forgot that. So we are dependent on you to get that information, that you have received the information. So that is that information that you must, so that the chair and the secretary of parliament are able to talk and make a program that is ready for us, so that in between that program, when you are ready with the performance report, we are able to slot you in. So that will shorten the time of you reporting to us, so that you don't talk of the first quarter of the previous financial year in the first quarter of the year under question. You see, I think that meeting, those talks, it's not a meeting, it's just the talks. To say you are ready here, you are not ready there, so that we are able to slot you in. The other thing was this thing that was suggested by Honorable Bushe, to say, reminding us that there is a difference between a presentation and a report. So we need to get both. Because this referencing of 2021 would appear in the report, in the performance report that we are referencing, that 2020-2021. But in the presentation like this is a theta ngonyaka lone reporta ka. Where and how you get the information is important, but you cannot reference what is under question now. The other financial year like 2020 and the 2021. But you can talk about that in the full report that we can read when you are not, but when you present facts like talking to a report. When you present, you talk to the summary of the report. And support the minister, KSET, let them go back. I agree with that, and correct whatever that is here. She has already double-checked with us what is it that we need, so that when they come back with the right information. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Clearly, perhaps we were misunderstood by the department, because the meeting of today was clear. It did not even request a report of 2020-2021. No, not at all. We didn't. Now, what we need, Minister, here is a quarterly report of 2022-2023. And in that, we expecting to receive what had happened in the last financial year, as Dr. Kuzwayo has presented. Now, I think I must put it to all of you as a reminder that with the previous incumbent, we had a rocky road with speed humps and holes, not even potholes, and holes, to an extent that we had to drag the incumbent to the portfolio committee meetings, screaming and kicking, through the summons of parliament,
was difficult for us, but we had always acted within the prescripts of the law and our guiding green book, which is called Rules of Parliament. And we had dragged your predecessor to the portfolio committee, as if that was not enough. She continued to undermine us and sent a legal counsel to the portfolio committee to represent her, which was illegal. And you will have a legal counsel raising a hand in a meeting that you're presiding over, as representing the minister. And we had to do what? Ask the old man to leave our meeting, because he was not the minister of tourism. Now I'm saying, all these excuses that no, we could not present, no, it was not by our own design that the department could not present. Conveniently so, when there was a matter of Tottenham Hotspurs, she came to the portfolio committee. Because the issue of Tottenham Hotspurs was something else. That was very interesting to her. Superseding the mandate of the executive in the portfolios where they are deployed to. We had problems. It's clear, it's there, black and white. You can go to PMG, it's dotted. Media, it's dotted. Legal Department of Parliament, black and white. They would even come to our portfolio committees as per our invite, because we wanted amicable solutions. To drag the executive to come and account to the portfolio committee. So UDM or wrong. We invited the department all the time. And sometimes the DM would come along, by the way, and could not even respond to certain questions that arisen from the portfolio committee, because it was not within his powers to respond to such questions. He would come, and the advisor would come alone. It was not by our design. Can't be that, yeah, we're going to be painted with a black brush. We were doing our work, and we continue to do our work and execute our responsibility. Now, the way forward, Minister, as you have suggested, you must go back. We are going to call you very soon. Go back. You do a presentation as requested and have a summary. A summary of everything, including the 2020 and 2021, they can be contained in that summary. And then what you do, you submit both the summary and the presentation. And when you come to the portfolio committee, you do the presentation as it is expected, because this report now looks like copy and paste. So we need to clean this report. Everything that is not supposed to be on the report goes to the summary, and then remain with the report as submitted, as it's supposed to be submitted to Parliament. And we're going to call you very soon. And I still maintain, Minister, the sooner you establish this machinery, the better. Because relying on information from the external forces, it will never be the same than what you are collating as the department yourself, because you are empowered by the Act. The Act does not say go to State South Africa and source information, because that information of State South Africa is the most credible information. It doesn't say that. It says that the information systems of the department must be in place so that the department does its own collation of the information. Business Tourism South Africa will always be at loggerheads with the department in South African Tourism when it comes to information, because they've got their own systems in collating the information. They know who comes and who goes. They know how many people who are in need of visas. They know how many people who need visas. They will also understand that, by the way, in that country where Tottenham Hotspur is, we were red flagged as a country. We're red flagged as a country. And people wanted us to have a collaboration with Tottenham Hotspur, Kanjani, when South Africa is red flagged there. So these are the reasons of the disputes that we put before a parliament and South Africans on the issues of Tottenham Hotspur. I'm citing one example. If we had this machinery, we would have known that what Tourism South Africa was suggesting, by the way, was in actual fact wrong. That aggregated audience, it was not there. In fact, Manchester United has better. Leeds United has better. You take a team that was number last on the league of their own country to inspire who and what in the country. So I'm just saying all that would have been contained on the information by the department for the department, because that section is very clear on what needs to be done and the responsibilities of this particular establishment of the National Tourism Information and Monitoring System. Because that branch is supposed to be there, and in my view, personally, as Tandima Ambehlala, the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism, that 1.4 billion of research is supposed to be allocated or shared with that tourism information and monitoring systems that will be established, whatever individuals that will be put there. The same way you have established the monitoring and oversight of the department, but this one will be of a special type because they will be dealing with certain matters as prescribed by the Act, because their mandate derives and deferred to them by the Act of Tourism. And the regulations won't be contrary to what the Act is saying. I doubt very much. So we are saying that we are concluding our meeting on that note for today, and that in the near future we don't want to deal with Copenhagen based. We don't want to deal with the reports of previous 2 or 5 financial years back. So that's where we are concluding, Minister.
Thank you. Niki and all the DTCs, I think we must go to my office. Even if you've got time, let's go meet there. Because I'm also concerned that every time we come to the committee, you know, the cost to bring all of the DDGs here. So we've got a bit of time now, and I will meet now DG and DDGs. If you can all come to my office, and then we just pick up on what the chair said now. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members.
Our meeting is adjourned. Honorable members, the House sitting starts at 2. We concluded earlier. There's dining halls in Parliament. We know you don't have offices. We can proceed to dining halls even if we're not going to be eating. Thank you very much. Oh, wow. And Honorable Defraters, you are going to...